The show has just completed its third year, with well over 200 entrants from the surrounding schools and wider community. It now pays for itself, and already there are small signs of rejuvenation and increased enrollment in the art department. Stories like these are mere illustrations of the central idea of this chapter. None of us is an expert at everything. So a little humility is common sense. Humbly acknowledging limitations and refusing to engage in competency extrapolation are not signs of weakness. They demonstrate realism and are therefore strengths. The opposite, in fact, is a serious weakness and a complete unreality. A story is told, apparently it's true, of Muhammad Ali during the peak of his career. I understand that he is now a very humble man and that many of his public antics were just showmanship. But on one occasion, as he was flying interstate to defend his world heavyweight title, the captain abruptly announced, "Approaching severe turbulence. Would passengers and crew fasten seatbelts immediately?" Normally, some turbulence means severe turbulence, so I hate to think what was in store. The crew hurried up and down the aisles to check that everyone was safe before strapping themselves in. One flight attendant noticed Muhammad Ali toward the front of the aircraft with a seatbelt obviously resting on his lap, undone. "Excuse me, sir, would you please fasten your seatbelt?" she asked. "The captain has advised this could be quite rough." Ali looked at her and calmly said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." Quick as a flash, she replied, "Superman don't need no plane." I would love to have seen the world champ's face in that moment. He loved wit, and I can only imagine he secretly admired this feisty attendant. In any case, there is a jarring unreality 30,000 feet in the air in the middle of a storm, daring to think you do not need the seatbelt, when in fact, you need not only the seatbelt, but the crew, the pilot, and the plane. Self-deception. Muhammad Ali offers a rather over-the-top example, but this should not obscure the fact that some of us, especially the clever, skilled, or gifted, sometimes fool ourselves, and occasionally others, into thinking we are supermen and superwomen in our circles of influence. But usually this is self-deception. And it is a perennial problem for people with healthy egos and large imaginations, which happens to be most leaders. In his superbly titled I Told Me So, philosophy professor Greg Elshoff explores the ubiquitous nature of self-deception in public and private life in secular and religious communities. It is one of the most disturbingly insightful books I have read, and from the opening page it made me squirm. A mother somehow manages not to notice the obvious signs that her son is on drugs. A wife does.